One of the routines that you're famous for is the seven words you can never say on TV. Would it be possible to give us a step-by-step description of how that developed?
Well, when I knew, when I got to this transitional stage, you know, the Las Vegas stuff was just one of a series of incidents that occurred over a two-year period. See, as I told you, I was doing this act in good nightclubs in Las Vegas and on mainstream television shows, and I had positioned myself exactly where I wanted to, which is a little against type. And don't forget, my type was rebel, anti-authority, coming out of coffee houses, confrontational material. Now I go against type, and I start learning how to be just cute and clever and nice, and don't say too much, you know, just give them what they want. And I learned that, and it brings me along beautifully in nightclubs and on television. But the acting thing didn't become automatic. The next step wasn't there for me. So I began to get dissatisfied then. Because I was using, I see it now, I was using this mainstream persona and facade to gain my end, which was acting. Get in the movies. This will get me to the movies. If I play the game with these people, it'll get me in the movies. Get to the movie thing, find out, hey, that's not automatic. I can't just have that. I don't like that so much. Well, I better get in touch with the comedian I am. And that comedian was, again, this person who says, well, fuck you, you can't do that, and you bastards, look what you're doing here. So I begin to change in 69, 70, 71. By 71, it was complete. That's when I began to experiment with acid. I had been a pot smoker most of my life, which fed into that attitude of mine, that antisocial attitude. But I began to experiment with acid, and what the acid did, which is done for many people, was to spring me past a frontier. To artificially get me to the next step, which might have or might not have happened anyway in my life, depending on what the circumstances were. The acid pushed me over to see that, hey, I'm wasting my time with these people. I don't really like them. I'm sort of entertaining the enemy. They're kind of a safe, play it safe, middle class audience, and I'm playing it safe with them. And I feel differently inside. Let me get some of this out of me. So I go through this transitional stage, And I let it happen in front of the public. I kept doing shows. I kept doing Steve Allen, Della Reese, Virginia Graham, all these syndicated shows. Kept doing them. The beard kept growing. The hair got longer. The material became a little more daring. And I began to say, okay, great. This is where I want to be. Now I got to go to the colleges. They fired me out of Vegas. They fired me out of these places. They don't want me. I don't want them. I'll go to the colleges. That's where my audience is. So in that, making that transition, I get a record contract with Little David. And I decide that the first album should show the transition. So I call it FM and AM, which is to indicate that I'm becoming an FM comedian after being an AM comedian for a while, that I'm getting more daring, I'm getting down with the people. So that album showed that. And on it, on the FM side, it had a piece called Shoot, which was a takeoff about the euphemism shoot for the word shit. And I called it Shoot. Shoot is just shit with two O's, or Shoot is shit with glasses on. And I did a whole routine about how harmless the word shit is and how we use it mostly metaphorically. Get that shit out of here. I'm not going to take that shit anymore. What do you think that shit's for? Who the, you know, what kind of shit are you giving me? And so that led then the next step on the next album to the seven words. And what I wanted to do there was to lay the words out so that people would understand that my feeling about them was that they are only words and they're only powerful in as much as you attach something to them, that you give them the power. If the person who says them has an evil motive, then the words indeed are instruments of evil. But if they're just lying on a page all by themselves, they're harmless. So that was the reason for wanting to spell them out and desensitize them.
You just opened up a whole new area for me. If that was your motivation, that seems to have stuck with a whole generation of people, young people who have grown up feeling basically the same way toward those words, because they use them in everyday expressions, mm-hmm. don't seem to feel that they are taboo in any sense of the word,
right.
And that's fascinating. You've opened up a whole new area for me.
Great.
Yeah.
So, two things about those words, too, that are interesting peripherally. Sometimes just to make the opposition, you know, to make my point more tellingly to an opponent on this issue, although he's never there, this is a theoretical opponent, I will say, you know, when I was growing up, I was taught to respect three groups of people. I was taught to respect policemen, respect military men, and respect professional athletes. And you know the language those three groups use. So what can be wrong with these words? And the other thing is, with my daughter, I taught her, I said, these words, other people give them power, so you must respect other people's reasons. If a person doesn't like that language, you don't have the right to use it in front of them. The words have the potential to be impolite or rude, so you must be careful how and when you use them, but they'll never hurt you.